Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today our topic is about gossip, so I have a joke that touches upon it. There was a church where the pastor and the music director were not getting along. As time went by, this dissension began to spill over into the worship service. The first week, the pastor preached on commitment and how we should all dedicate ourselves to the service of God. The music director led the song, "I Shall Not Be Moved." The second week, the pastor preached on tithing and how we should gladly give to the work of the Lord. The director led the song, "Jesus Paid It All." Third week, the preacher preached on gossiping and how we should all watch our tongues. The music director led the song, "I Love to Tell the Story." With all this going on, the pastor became disgusted over the situation. He told everyone he was going to resign. He said that Jesus led him to take up the pastor position there in the church, and Jesus is now telling him to move on. At which point, the music director led the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Our topic today is don't add fuel to the fire. Prabhupada says, our guru, the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee is this, just as the bee and the fly. The bee is always attracted by the honey and the fly by open source. Devotees are only attracted by the good qualities in other people and do not dwell in their faults. And we all have opportunities to make people look bad, to pass on a rumor. There are things that we don't know for sure are true, but it's tempting to be the center of attention for a moment and repeat them anyway. Doesn't mean that we're a bad person, we're just repeating what we've heard. Or maybe we know something that is true. The person had a failure, they made a mistake, they made a poor decision. However, there are a lot of things which, even if they're true, we don't need to tell them. We should do our best never to show people in an unflattering light. We live in a society which is already filled up with rumors and gossip, and naysaying. There's a lot of chatter these days on TV, on the radio, through the internet, on Facebook, at school. It's easy to justify telling it all because it's the truth. A lot of people are nosy. A lot of people are busybodies. They love to get things stirred up. They have no problem repeating things which they know are only half true. On purpose, they'll leave out certain details just to prove their point. If we're not careful and we hang out with these kinds of people, we'll get pulled in and become carriers of their poison. Did you hear what I heard? I've got some juicy news. Someone comes up to you with tidbits, hot off the press. It's true. It's confirmed. They lied. They cheated. Here's what you do in response. Nothing. Don't go to the phone. Don't go to email. Don't go to Facebook. Don't call a friend. Don't expose them. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, austerity of speech consists in speaking truthfully and beneficially and avoiding speech that offends. What does that mean? It means the gossip stops. It dies with you. You don't pass it on. Let me put it this way. Each one of us carries a bucket of water and a bucket of gasoline. When you hear rumors, juicy information, you can either pour the gasoline on it and add fuel to the fire and make it worse, or you can do what Krishna or God says and pour the water on it and extinguish it. Too many people are using gasoline and then they try to justify it. True, it's the truth. I'm just stating facts. Yes, they may be guilty, but it's said that love, and we want to be lovers, right? Love does not expose a fault. Love protects and covers a fault. Love doesn't go and tell five friends. Love doesn't go on Facebook. Love doesn't add fuel to the fire. Love says they made a mistake, but Krishna or God can restore them. No mistake that we make is bigger than God's power to rectify us. They messed up, but Krishna has a new beginning. They did wrong, but I'm not going to add to their pain. I'm not going to contribute to making them look bad. What am I going to do? I'm going to show mercy. I'm not going to pass on anything negative about anybody. When you know something negative about a person, you could easily show them in an unflattering life. It's tempting, isn't it? But if you resist the temptation, guess what? You pass the test. It is said of Krishna in our scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the causeless mercy of the Lord is unparalleled. We're emanations from the Lord. Like sparks from a fire have the same qualities of light and heat as the fire. The Lord exhibits unparalleled mercy, and we are qualitatively one with the Lord. We should reflect that quality of the Lord by showing mercy. And here's another thought. Krishna or God will not promote a gossip, a busybody, a fault finder. But if you'll get your bucket of water and put the fire out, then you'll pass the test, and Krishna will promote you. But the real question is, when we hear juicy information, when it's hot off the press, are we going to use discipline and not let it go any further? Are we going to show mercy and let the gossip die with me? I'm not going to be a hater. I'm not going to be a fool. I'm not going to be an idiot. With my silence, I'm going to represent the loving Father of us all. Here are a couple of insights into karma, the law of action and reaction. Said here, when a bird is alive, it eats ants. When the bird is dead, ants eat it. Time and circumstances are always changing. Don't devalue or hurt anyone. You may be powerful today, but remember, time is more powerful than you. One tree makes a million matchsticks. Only one matchstick is needed to burn down a million trees. Be good and do good, for what goes around comes around. In karma, you get what you give. You need to ask yourself two things. Do I know without a shadow of a doubt that this is really true, or am I hearing it third, fourth, fifth hand? Second thing, even if it's true, is it beneficial to pass it on? Is it helpful? Is it necessary? Do I need to tell it, or do I just want to tell it? It's human nature, tell me if I'm wrong, to be focused on fire. Isn't fire fascinating? We gaze at it, seeing the tongues of flame flickering one way and another. That curiosity inevitably leads us to fan the flame just to see what it'll do and where it'll go. Fascinating as it may seem, when we fan the flames of rumor, fan the flames of gossip, it will always, always prove destructive. On the other hand, when you protect a reputation, you're sowing a seed for Krishna or God to protect your own reputation at some time in the future. Sometimes we tell ourselves, I'm just going to tell this one friend. That's not going to hurt anything. The problem is, that friend will tell another, and they'll tell another, and they'll tell another, and they'll tell another. And in the course of the telling and retelling, there'll be distortions, there'll be exaggerations, things will get blown out of proportion, what's big will get bigger, what's bad will get worse. When something comes to your ear, don't believe everything. Don't let people who are envious, jealous, or who can't handle success poison you with their opinion of somebody else. True. Did you hear about so-and-so? No, I didn't hear. And if it's not good, I don't want to hear. You shouldn't let people fill you with a bunch of trash. Someone wants to talk bad about a person. Someone wants to gossip about a person and put them down. Don't sit there and passively take it all in. Be proactive. Tell them, no thanks. My ears are not garbage cans. You got to put your foot down and not passively allow people to poison your life. Here's a poem. In the course of your conversations each and every day, think twice and be careful of what you have to say. Your remarks may be picked up by someone else's listening ear. You may be surprised at what some people think they hear. Things that you innocently say or try to portray may be changed and greatly exaggerated along the way. Many stories change for the worse as they are retold. So try to keep any questionable marks on hold. May I give all of you some sound advice? Try to say good things regardless of who is around. If you have nothing good to say, don't utter a sound. You may find that an innocent remark in the end may lose you a close and valued friend. I heard a story about a man who went to a priest. He confessed to being a gossip and asked the priest what he could do to make it right. The priest told him to go to the top of a mountain, rip open a feather pillow, turn the fellows loose in the wind, and then come back to the priest the next day. The man did like he was told, went to the top of the mountain, opened it, scattered the feathers to the wind. Next day, went back to the priest. Okay, Father, what's next? Priest said, go back and collect all the feathers. The man complained, said, that would be impossible to collect all. They're scattered everywhere. The priest said, that, my friend, is the point. Once you begin to gossip, words spread, they scatter to the wind, and they can never be retrieved. You don't know where they're going to go, where they're land, or who they're going to hurt. The key is, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Surround yourself with people who reflect who you want to be and how you want to feel. Why? Because consciousness is contagious. Association is like a mirror. You're going to become like the people that you hang out with. Your friends will become reflections of you and vice versa. If you hang around angry people, guess what? You're going to go around angry. If you hang around gossipers, you're going to become a gossiper. If you hang around fault finders, you'll become a fault finder. If you hang around with nosy, busybodies, that consciousness is going to rub off on you. Be careful who you associate with. It is said that great people, and here you see Krishna and Arjuna, talk about ideas. Average people talk about things. Small people talk about other people. There are lots of busybodies, would you agree with me? Spreading rumors, having an opinion about everything. They try to run everybody else's life, but the truth is they can't even run their own life. Be kind, be respectful, but don't associate with a busybody. Keep your distance. Don't be fooled. If they'll talk about somebody else in front of you, you can count on the fact that they're talking about you in front of somebody else. Those who gossip to you will gossip about you. They're not your friends. And it's just as wrong to listen to gossip as it is to tell it. Gossip takes a speaker and a happy listener. Really? Yeah. Tell me more. After 3 years of research, Indiana University sociologist Donna Eder identified an important dynamic involved in gossip. Eder discovered that the initial negative statement was not the starting point for gossip. The critical turning point was found in the response to the initial negative statement. She's a real snob is not the start of the gossip. It's when someone else agrees that the gossip fest begins. Eder found that the key is whether or not a negative statement is seconded. If a second is provided, then the gossip began. A gossip goes around with a can of gasoline, but an honorable person uses water, tries to quell and not add to the rumors. You defend, you show mercy, you cover. Many years ago, this devotee to the right of Srila Prabhupada Madhavisa had taken vows of celibacy as a swami. Word got out that from his post in Australia, he had broken his vows of celibacy. And when Prabhupada heard it, his immediate reaction was not to disown him, not to criticize him, not to judge him, not to condemn him. Prabhupada was less concerned about his fault, less concerned about his mistake, than he was about other devotees bad-mouthing him and criticizing him. Prabhupada's concern was, he made a mistake, all right, but let not the rest of society condemn him in such a way that he becomes embarrassed and then he leaves. He says, if he can't keep his vows of celibacy, then let him just get married and continue serving. And when Prabhupada heard that his caution was too late, that Madhavisa had already left out of embarrassment, Prabhupada cried tears. Here's a description. My name is Gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I'm cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I'm quoted, the more I'm believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it's never the same. I topple governments, wreck marriages, and ruin careers, cause sleepless nights, heartaches, indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name, gossip, hisses. I make headlines and headaches. Before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, shut up. If I, as a Christian devotee, hear somebody talking about another part of my Krishna family, I should do everything I can to pour water on that fire. Charu, one of your members, tried to run me off the road last week. Oh, I'm sure they didn't mean to. They probably just dropped their cell phone and fishing it for it on the floor. They got distracted. With your friends and with your family members, never pour gasoline. Always pour water. And that's the way Krishna, God, wants you to be with the people that he sent into your life. He put them across your path so that you would treat them as he would treat them, with mercy, and thereby give them a taste of the spiritual world. If you're a teacher, if you're a parent, if you're a political leader, you should act in such an exemplary way that you give people a taste for the unconditional love of the spiritual world. Many of you answered affirmatively when I asked you if you'd been to the Festival of Colors. Did you know that one of the most common comments on Facebook from people who've been to the Festival of Colors was, they don't care who you are, they don't care where you come from, you're just loved and you're accepted unconditionally. And getting a taste of that unconditional love is getting a taste of the spiritual world. It's getting a taste for the kingdom of God. And that's what Prabhupada, our spiritual master, did. That's why he was so attractive to us. He gave us a taste of what it was like to experience unconditional love. Prabhupada said, love affairs in the material world are only shadow reflections of the real love with Krishna. If you love Krishna, you shall never be frustrated, because that love is perfect, eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. It's easy. It doesn't take anything to pick on people and kick them when they're down. It's easy to be judgmental. It's easy to say, I told you so. But the honorable thing is to stay on the high road and help restore them. Bring peace. In the Bible, it says after 40 days, with a bunch of animals and very few human association on the ark, when the rain finally stopped, the first thing Noah did was go out and get blind drunk. He was lying naked without a stitch of clothing on in his tent. And his son Ham came and derided his father, called people, look at dad, he's lying naked, stinking drunk. Look at him, everybody. But his other son came and covered his father up, protected his father. The son that advertised his father's shortcoming, he and all of his future generations were cursed. And the son that out of love protected his father and covered his father, he and all his future generations were blessed. We can show honor even when honor's not earned. Maybe what a person did was a shameful thing. But if you don't add to the shame, you will be blessed, you will prosper, you will be in a position of honor. Devotees are members of our eternal family. Amongst devotees, each and every one of us is responsible to see that we all get back home, back to Godhead. Salvation is not an individual endeavor, it's a community effort. When one devotee, when one member of our family falls down, it's the job of the other members of the family not to kick them, but to pick them up, to get them moving forward again. And it's the responsibility of each and every devotee to make sure that every other devotee makes it ultimately back home, back to God. And we've got to cover their faults. We've got to pray for their restoration, not go out and expose them, not blow it up bigger. But true, they're wrong. Look, Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, any spiritual institution is meant for imperfect people. The hospital is not for healthy people. Healthy people don't need to be in the hospital. It's for unhealthy people. A path of spiritual life is meant for restoration, for rehabilitation. If you're perfect, you don't need to be here in the first place. When someone falls, then those who are spiritual have the responsibility to bring them back, to restore them, like doctors, back to health. If you pick them up when they fall, then Krishna will make sure that someone is there for you when you need it. It's easy to expose, to be judgmental and critical, but remember this, the same amount of mercy that you show to others is the same amount of mercy that you'll receive when you need it. So don't be a fair weather friend. People need you more in the tough times than the good times. Be generous with your mercy. Don't be a fault finder, be a protector. Let's be friends who can be counted on, who stick with other friends, devotees, family members, through thick and thin, to protect, defend, and cover. We do live in a society that likes to kick people when they're down. A lot of people jump on the bandwagon. But when you criticize someone, be careful. Faults can be contagious. If you dwell on them, you may end up doing the same thing. So you're showing mercy to others is what's going to protect you down the road. If you criticize others and dwell on their faults, those faults will become yours and you'll end up doing the same things. But if you protect others, then Krishna will protect you. If you're a parent and you have a child who's off course, when someone helps that child, shows kindness to that child, forgiveness to that child, mercy to that child, is there anything that you as the parent of that child will not do for that person? Wouldn't you be so grateful? Wouldn't you go so far out of your way to do anything for them that they ask? In the same way, when you stick up for one of God's or Krishna's children, when you defend them and when you help to restore them, when you help to protect their reputation, there's nothing that God, the Almighty Lord, creator of millions and millions of you, will not do for you. When you're generous with your mercy, you will have the favor of God. Mercy sets the tone for his blessings. My challenge today to all of us is, when you hear a word against your family, against your friend, against other devotees, be disciplined and let it die with you. Be a person of honor. Don't let gossip abound around you. Don't let complaining, don't let fault finding in your area. Because you choose the water and not the gasoline. Because you're going to choose the mercy and not the condemnation. Because you cover faults and protect reputations rather than expose them. Krishna or God will honor and bless you to become everything that you were meant to be and accomplish everything that he created you to accomplish in this life and the next life. He'll take you back to home, back to Godhead.